We're back this week. Early. NBA games force us to come on just a little bit early. I don't know if the... I guess I'm going to start talking when the music's over. I really don't know about that. Josh, do you have any opinion on that? I should probably ask our board guy.
You just blend in. You know, the music's kind of fading. You jump in. It's all about the
excitement.
The timing. I think you got it.
Excitement. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm excited about Pac baseball. John.
Yes.
They made the tournament. They had to sweep San Jose State last week.
Yes.
Then they were going to make it as long as either Air Force or San Jose State did not sweep.
So that didn't happen?
San Jose State won last night. Air Force won today. So
perfect.
The Pac's in. And if – let me get this straight. If San Jose State wins tomorrow and Vegas loses two games, the Pac will move into the 3 seed. So,
okay.
With that being said, I mean, congratulations to the Wolfpack,
yeah.
The baseball team. You know, it's kind of a – I don't think the year was kind of as a success as they wanted it to be or they thought it would be, but – and the fact that they're hosting the Mountain West Conference tournament here. You know,
you never want to not show up to your own tournament.
You mean the defending champion, John? So, John's got some texts. He's got some giggling going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on, sorry.
Yeah, you're right, whatever. So with that being said, so if you're a Wolfpack fan, obviously, congratulations to the men's.
Jeez, I got a smoker's cough all of a sudden. I don't even smoke.
Yeah, congratulations to the Wolfpack men's baseball team for making the tournament, Josh. Yeah, when he gets to baseball, John and Josh, any team's live. I mean, Nevada, they beat Oregon State twice this year. So.
Yeah, and remember this Nevada team won 43 games a couple years ago, number one seed, and then all hell broke loose in that tournament. They lost a rain-soaked game in 9 innings, something like that, and had some pushback weather delays, and so you never know what's going to happen. They're going to draw Fresno, I'm sure, so that's never an easy chore. But
I agree. But
at least you're in the dance. That's all you want to do.
But you know, is the tournament next? Will it start next week? I believe it does.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the weather's supposed to be cold, so you got San Diego State coming up here. They probably not big fans of the cold. Then Vegas, I guess, is Vegas the 3 seed? I guess they are, aren't
they? Vegas would be the 3 seed right now, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then San Diego State, Fresno State, Nevada.
Nevada.
What a – we got to get out there.
And if you were, besides Boise State, if you were to drop who the 4 charter schools are these days in this conference, it's going to be those 4 in most sports, with the exception of Boise State, who I believe their baseball program starts next year.
I think you're either next year or the year before.
Their softball team won a big game today. So
did they?
I'm not here to give Boise State props. So.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely not. We don't want to do that. Josh, no props for Boise or Vegas.
No. But as you mentioned, you know, having the conference tournament here, hopefully it shines a little bit of light. I always thought, for some reason this is true, but college baseball just really, comparatively to everything else, doesn't get much respect. I mean, compared to college football, college basketball, and even on a local level like this where people – baseball fans probably check out the Reno Aces before they think about going to the university. One thing I've always liked about it, including here, is like usually the seats, it's very accessible. Seats are usually affordable. Yeah. It's a high level of play. I think some people are just under the impression that, college baseball is just sort of the in-between, that maybe all the really good players just jump high school into the pros. That's not really true.
It's not true.
The top of the top do.
Yeah.
But
well,
by and large, you do.
And that's
can
not
you look,
even,
you look
that's
at
not
any decent Division I team,
yeah.
There's usually at least a couple guys who are going to be drafted, a couple pro prospects.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing I've always enjoyed, but especially hopefully we have a showcase here because even covering some great programs like I have at Stanford and Sunken Diamond in the Bay Area, Cal.
Yeah.
And, you know, these great programs, but still crazy. Similar to here on your average conference game, you could just show up, you know, for $5 and sit anywhere, and
anywhere.
It's a high level of play. I just hope the sport itself gets a little more exposure.
I think a lot of that's the aluminum, the graphite composite bats. That turns people off, I guess, but – I don't know. I love watching it.
That's what, you know, I've heard so many people say they love the College World Series and stuff because the kids aren't perfect. It is they will make errors. You know, it's not like the pros. You know, if you get 2 errors in a game of pros, you've seen something that you won't see. But you can see a college game where there's 3 or 4 errors. I mean, look last year at Oregon State. The right fielder, second baseman dropped that ball. You know, otherwise Oregon State doesn't win. They don't end up winning the College World
Series.
That's
right. There's a crazy finish.
That's right.
You know, the fly ball to right. And then, you know, and so with that being said, and look at the 4 teams that are going to be in it, guys. I mean, they're going to travel well. I mean, you've got Fresno. You've got San Diego State. You've got Vegas and Nevada. I mean, there's going to be fans come up to see these guys play. So it should be a pretty good attendance for the Mountain West Conference Baseball Tournament. I'm excited.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Trying to get my iPad all situated.
I saw Chris Murray actually write something about it. Someone brought up why they wouldn't have it at, or maybe even a super regional.
I saw that. Aces Stadium,
Greater Nevada Field. I always want to call it Great Western. I don't know.
But anyways, yeah, go ahead.
But, yeah, I mean, he had a good point. Is you want that home field advantage that you get at Piccoli. And with not being able to schedule it that far enough out, with the Aces will probably be in town as it is. So.
And you kind of got to respect Don Weir for what he's done for the program.
I mean,
if they have a regional, a regional is a good example, too, or even the Mountain West Conference tournament, he deserves to have his name plagued all over all the advertisement.
Agreed.
You know, thank you, Mr. Weir, for everything you've done. With that being said, you know, what we're talking about, if you tuned in late.
Use a new Dodge.
We're coming.
The
there you go. Mr. Weir, we're going to plug you for a discount. Somebody out there, tell Mr. Weir that John Stevens is coming in.
Loyal Ram driver.
Loyal Ram driver. And we're giving him a free plug for free Dodge.
That's worth $50,000, isn't
it? Hold on. Mr. Weir, I'm first. John.
You already got it.
You're driving
a Chevy.
I'll give you mine, though.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, so with that being said, congratulations to the men's Wolfpack baseball team. Any Wolfpack hoops news? Nothing really coming out. Well, did Lindsay?
Yeah, Lindsay.
Was that's been since last week?
That was this week?
It was a couple of days ago.
Okay, so if you're a Wolfpack basketball fan.
Not exactly a revelation that Lindsay Drew's coming back, but great nonetheless.
Absolutely. You know, and then Cody Martin's having a heck of an NBA combine too.
I saw that.
You know, he got invited back to the scrimmage portion of it. I believe he was the only one between him, Caleb, and Jordan, and I think he had 16 or 17 today. I was watching some highlights, you know, alley-oop dunks and stuff like that.
Brown took a visit to Arizona.
Oh, did he? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he did.
Well, they did say that he was going to start taking visits after the exams. So, but you know, and going back to, you know, we're talking about Wolfpack basketball. Obviously, I still think Jordan Brown comes back. I really do. I mean,
makes the most sense.
Does he really want to set out another year?
The only program in America that can offer him to play this year with the minutes that he wants is Nevada.
And respectfully, kind of run roughshod maybe over a little bit lesser competition.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine him going to play for Kentucky this year and just having to step up to that caliber? I mean, it'd be like his freshman year because he hasn't seen that competition. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's a great talent. He could probably do it. But
and I understand that he and his family kind of felt like they were sold a bill of goods by coming last year. His role wasn't exactly what was cracked up to be. But he never said a word.
Nope.
He never complained. He was a great teammate on the bench.
Even his dad in the media was.
He came in and he produced as he went. I think we all had visions of, okay, we're going to add that piece, McDonald's All-American, to an already existing Sweet 16 team, and we're just going to roll. Coach Musk saw it another way. This is a different coaching staff now. Maybe they have a different vision for Jordan, which I'm sure they've sold
him on. What do you think that is, John? I mean, what do you think happened?
Trust. I think you trust those fifth-year seniors. Every one of those guys was, you know, that's a grown man, 23, 24-year-old.
Did you fall in love with the rankings and being terrified maybe of losing a game and dropping in rankings, whereas the overall goal might have been greater to maybe lose a game or two early to get him the minutes that he needed so when we got later 25 games into the season, he would have been more experienced. What's your thought on that?
I think that's a thought. I think you want to keep that. You know, they were 24-1 and then lost four out of nine after
something like that, yeah.
So, that could have been. I kept thinking once conference play rolls around, then you're going to see JB more and more and more. But we don't know what we're talking about.
Josh, do you think maybe that if Cody would have missed that shot at Boise, it would have changed things a little bit?
Possibly, but they still lost like just a couple games later. It's a tough call. I think there's just a few things at play. One, as we've seen in the past few years, Musselman just became notorious for super short bench. Like he liked six guys or seven guys, and that was it. No one else broke in there. But this specific year, I really do just think it was clogged up there. Like you mentioned with the transfers, I think, of course, he prefers the experience. You saw him, you know, Brown got to play a little bit in those exhibition games. He was out there getting some run. But when it came down to, you know, who can play and, you know, not a lot of time to go around, I just think he ultimately did think, Trey Porter, Trey Sean Thurman, you know, they're veterans and they just have the edge right now. There just wasn't a way to get him on the court right away. Otherwise, they would have. I mean, he ended up just being kind of stacked at that position.
I just with the talent, you know, if this kid is getting looks, you know, from Arizona and Kentucky, which, you know, John, you said they took an official visit to Arizona.
I think it's unofficial.
Unofficial, okay. But I know that he's got a scheduled visit for Kentucky, too. I have read that.
So, Cal as well, but that's, he's not going to
Cal. You just really got to think that. I mean, so if we were – here's my question. If we were so talented that he can't get a run, like Josh said, and get on the court, did Musselman – really blow it with all the talent he had? I mean, think about that. I mean,
I still have that. I think it's Athlon Sports.
It's on my desk.
Yeah, I still
number
have.
Four.
I was thumbing through it. We were number five, or four is a
four or five.
Four or five. And it's just you think back, and you're like, wow, yeah, maybe so. I don't know if Musselman himself blew it, but I wouldn't. And blowing it is a tough. They have 129 games.
Well, you're right. Sometimes, you know, it's all relative because you're like, yeah, how can you any college basketball team to basically won 30 games and call it a failure? But to your point, this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Nevada, Ken. You said the top 10, top 5 ranking was justified. And I go back, I still say early on, when you look at those nationally televised games, Pac-12 opponents, the team we saw, for instance, down 12 at halftime to Arizona State, come back and win that game handily.
Yeah.
You know, beat USC on the road handily. That was a top five caliber team and looked it. Toward the, they went backward, clearly. So I don't know. I think to some degree, you know, the loss in New Mexico, it had a little psychological effect or whatnot. And who knows what the other factors were. But put it this way, it went from a team, they were down early. You expected them to come back and win. That was just dominant against every opponent to late in the year. Let's face it. I mean, Mountain West Conference, they go down 5 to San Diego State, and you think they're not coming back. And they didn't. And the same thing with against Florida. You're like, all right, it's down 7 in the first 10 minutes. They're not coming back. And something went wrong. Because clearly, and I don't know where the blame, if you want to assign it, is supposed to lie. But for a team that was that gifted and basically clearly peaked too soon and seemed to have a psychological hurdle the back end of the season, losing to inferior opponents regularly for the last few weeks.
Not putting them away.
Right, because I just think versus the expectations, and some of which were realistic, it was a disappointment. That was a realistic top five team in the country, talent-wise. Played like barely top five
I knew we didn't have a shot to win in San Diego State. I knew we didn't have a shot to win at Utah State. That's weird for a team that's ranked as highly as they are and thought of as highly, that you know they're not going to win those two places.
All right. Let's head off to our first commercial break. We come back with Talking Sports on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right, we're back. Sorry about the little confusion. We had a little minor technical difficulty we had to take care of. So with that being said, I think we're back on track. Talking a little bit about Wolfpack Hoops, John, and you were talking about the Athlon, you know, and all the publications early in the year and, you know, the expectations on Nevada, you know, and it's maybe, I don't know, it's just it's so sad that we had such a great year and you still feel a little bit down.
Yeah, and Kate, I think I want to say, you know, there was I want to say CBS Sports Network, I believe, had this discussion, you know, after Nevada lost in the conference tournament, and they more or less had the same debate. Is it realistic to call this a disappointment when a team with this many wins, and you know, how do you go about analyzing the thing in the broader sense? And I want to say, Wally Zerbiak, one of their studio analysts, said, you know what, when it comes right down to it, though, when you look at all this talent, in fact, they were supposed to run away with, you know, against this level of competition in the conference. The fact that they more or less ended up in a tie and they didn't even, you know, win a game or, you know, get past the semifinals of the conference tournament, he goes, I think it's fair to say that's a disappointment. I thought that was a fair assessment. Like,
yeah.
This is a team that should have been. Utah State's a solid NCAA quality tournament team. Nevada shouldn't have been in a tie for the regular season title. And it would have been cool, of course. Everyone wanted to see a rematch with Utah State in the conference championship. But like I said, something about this team, they lost something to where they just couldn't handle adversity at all. And you said the teams that have some toughness, San Diego State, the likes of San Diego State, Utah State, you know, getting a little grudge match with them. And, again, you went from thinking early on in the season that Nevada could overcome anything to they stand no chance, down 5 points.
See, to me, the reason it's a disappointment, I was trying to compare them to those Rebel teams, the national champion Rebel teams, 35-5, beat Duke by 30 in the national championship, run away with the Big West at that point. And that's what I want to live up to. That's what I want Nevada to live up to. Try to get – you're not going to win a national championship. I understood that. But they had a look. I thought they had a legitimate chance at another Sweet 16, Elite 8.
I think – exactly, John. You realize, too, NCAA tournament games are so incredibly, ridiculously hard to win. You know, that's why we watched the first couple rounds of the tournament here at the Sportsbook, and these teams just – you know, they advance one time and they act like they won out. It's so difficult to do. And that's why that Sweet 16 appearance to go down is such a milestone. And I agree with you. I just think that should have been like more or less the threshold again.
Yeah.
This should be a team that should be capable of getting through the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Even though, as we know, they said only 16 teams do it out of 300 plus Division I teams in the country.
Yeah.
So that's saying something. But to me, it just was disappointing where, you know, the team seemed to have. You know, the right combination of talent and mojo on their side after last year, and clearly something went awry at the end.
Yeah, and that's not a fair comparison by me. That UNLV team like it or hate it, is one of the greatest teams ever assembled.
Oh, yeah. And they had a bunch of, as you know, future pros. I mean, Larry Johnson, geez. Lottery picks. So,
Stacey
Ogman, come on,
Greg
man.
Anthony, Anderson Hunt, yeah, George Ackles,
longer
David
than any
Butler,
of them.
All these guys. I just run through it.
Jerry Tarkanian.
Dave Rice, for God's sake.
Yeah.
No, but it's yeah, it was a disappointment, but it was a fun ride. That was how much fun did you have this year, Ken?
Oh, absolutely. I went to every home game. I went to probably a handful of road games.
Yeah.
Where else? You know, we went to Vegas and saw him play. Who did we see him play? UMass, and who was the second game they played in Vegas?
Tulsa.
Yeah. You know, and they. That was probably the best offensive game against UMass. They scored 100 plus.
Got their revenge on Illinois. Chicago went to their gym, beat the brakes off them. That's not. I mean, there were some great things that happened.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not all doom and gloom. Just to be top five at any point at this university is an amazing accomplishment.
Yep.
So
with that being said, you know, we're still waiting for the big decision on Jordan Brown. Like I said, I'm still, you know, out there thinking that he's going to come back. It just doesn't make sense for him to sit out another year.
And I agree. Not to mention, if you're disappointed with the way things went, yeah, he's a highly regarded talent recruit coming in, more or less rides the bench. But, you know, the guy who or whatever, the coach, the subject of his ire is gone. I mean, it makes no sense to go through that season where you're disappointed and you sat.
And now that's speculation.
Now you probably get a chance to play, and why bail now? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
now, under the new regime, like, obviously he's going to be one of the most talented returning players.
I don't think his
chance to get on the court exists here better than anywhere. So you already paid your dues. Might as well get the chance to play.
I 100%, John, and I'll throw this to you. I 100% think that if he didn't have to set out, he's gone. I do.
I do, too.
I wouldn't
especially blame him.
And the point's been brought up, too, John. Come back, run roughshod over Mountain West, and now, if you really think that you want to – now you can set out – why can't you set out the following year?
So if when this process started –
it's unfortunate for him.
Would you have taken right now as it, Lindsey, Jazz, Zuzois, and Jalen Harris back? All those guys are back. Jordan Brown's not there. Would you have taken it?
Yeah. And even Chris Murray wrote articles about that he goes that if Alford could actually keep three of them, and here we have four back, you know, but and with 100% respect to this, I mean, and believe me, I love Lindsey Drew. Lindsey Drew's coming off two hip surgeries and an Achilles, and he hasn't played basketball in, what, a year and a half now? So, I mean, it's just he's still going to have to get
–
there's going to be some rust.
If you can approach the level, he was playing at such a high level before
he
got hurt.
Oh, I'm nothing but ecstatic about him returning.
A true pass first point guard that plays defense like that and is a very efficient scorer. He's not a big scorer, but he's efficient.
Yep.
I love Lindsey Drew.
I remember he gets more crunch rebounds from the guard position than any guard that we've ever had, in my opinion. It just seems like he's always in the, you know, crucial games, Josh, right spot, right time, and he gets a big board, offense or defense. It's just amazing what he does.
And I also liked, again, the mix he had with the talent on the court when he was playing. I just liked the dynamic that he provided. There are times where there's a lot of offense surrounded by driving and penetrating for threes, kickouts or whatever. A lot of times when the Nevada offense went cold, he was the kind of guy to bring it back with getting something at the hoop. Going
steal.
And finishing or a foul, right.
A block? So how about
time,
the block?
A lot of times he was able to single-handedly end, you know, offensive cold streaks by
he
doing
started
that.
Dunking on people.
Reverse!
Yes.
Circle!
Yes.
I mean, not reverse, but he did like a pirouette kind of. Yeah, no, he's a big boy.
I remember it vividly.
You know, but he's got, you know, he comes from a basketball-rich family. I mean, he's probably seeing the best doctors
smart.
In the world.
One of the smartest players you'll see out there.
Yeah, exactly. So he's grown up with, you know, his dad was the intern for the Cavaliers.
I just can't wait to see Jalen Harris play. Everything we've read about him.
He loves Calnevia chicken wings.
Who doesn't?
Oh,
who doesn't, Kenny? Who doesn't?
Yeah, so he, I've never seen him inside the Calnevia, but last year during the Wing Fest, him and Caleb and Cody came down every day to the chicken wing and got the chicken wings.
Yeah.
So Mr. Harris, if you're listening, we'll see you on the street.
Harris.
Bring it. I'm with you, dude. I mean, this guy, they, you know, I've had multiple.
You just dude me?
I do to the Wolfpack program.
Yeah,
so, with that being said, I've had multiple people say that they have been to practices last year, which Musselman, once again, didn't live up to his end of the bargain when I bought that thing. Supposed to go to a practice, never called me back. But with that being said, remember I told you about all that,
John.
I'm
a little salty about Mus.
I am a little salty, but I hate the way he left.
Let's go to Fayetteville.
How about Gus? How about the way Gus left?
Gus is the man.
Heartfelt. Thank you. I appreciate it. Everything. I mean, just.
I was hoping they'd keep him.
Yeah, so was I. But he's where did he go?
I'm not sure.
G- guys.
Gus Arginal is who we're talking about.
Yeah, Gus Arginal, the assistant head coach, you know. But he left and thanked everybody. Appreciate, you know, and just – he didn't lie to us. I mean, I'm surprised his wife didn't come out, you know, the day before and just say, oh, no, we're out of here. We're not going to take anything's accepted. And
you need,
so, yeah, I'm bitter,
you need
Josh.
To turn the page.
No, I don't.
Let me quote Bob Seger.
Listen.
Turn the
page. I will.
Page.
When basketball season starts next year. Man, I'm that bitter. Josh?
An old lonesome highway.
Like I said, at least you're a man of principle. I don't blame you for having a bitter taste.
Just say
about
thanks.
The way he left.
Just really come out and just say, like I said, listeners, I'm not mad because he left. I get it, and I'm totally okay with that. Just, it's like Mills Lane said, and this always lingers in my mind. I've had hundreds of dinners with Mills Lane, and you talk about a man of principle, the greatest principle I've ever had. He would always say, listen, you're going to go a long ways in life. He goes, don't forget the people that help you get there. And Nevada, the university, the community, and those players, they helped Musk get to where he is at. Whether he wants to acknowledge that or believe that or not, we're the reason he is there.
Yeah.
And for him not to come out and appreciate that and openly thank everybody, I'm disgusted by it. I'm disgusted. John?
No, I know. I understand exactly what you're saying. It seems to me he thinks that he did in some way. I'm not exactly
sure. You mean a three-work tweet? A three?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe that he was salty at the reaction of some of the local radio hosts in this town that have buried. I really don't know.
I didn't bury him before until afterwards.
I know.
I was 100% pro Mus.
Exactly. And I'm always appreciative of him and I don't know. I'm not at that. I'm optimistic. I love Steve Alford. I've been a Steve Alford fan since Southwest Missouri State when it was still called that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even back to his Indiana playing days. So, I'm of the mind, you know what? I think we're in a better situation now.
You
don't have to worry about somebody leaving every 10 seconds now, yeah. I don't think.
Did you hear all the rumors being speculated that Alford might go to Michigan now? And I said, well, you know what I said? I go, well, good, we get $8 million. I think his buyout clause is $8 million.
How they don't just sign Juwan Howard right now? I agree with Dylan Rose again on this.
I'll tell you what I did today, too. I bet $100 on Memphis at 30-1 to win it all.
Number one recruiting class in the nation.
Oh, they got little Penny coming in. They got big Penny coming in.
And I know it.
I know. And apparently all these recruits I was looking at, they're just animals. Like the whole roster is top 150 players.
I think Kyrie Walker, one of the Nevada recruits.
He might end up there.
It's on the short list.
Yes.
As is Arkansas, I think.
Yeah. Well, shocker. Arkansas.
Yeah, go to Kentucky, Kyrie.
Yeah, go to Memphis. Kyrie.
Go to Memphis, I'm in with Penny.
I got 100 at 35-1.
Tell him little Penny from science classes.
I know my spot, fool.
Exactly.
You know little Penny. Little Anthony Hardaway. All right.
And Memphis,
John,
by the way, wasn't bad toward the end of last year.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to do it, John. I'm going to do it. We have to go off the next commercial break, and I'm going to turn the page. When we come back, we're going to change the subject. I'm not going to talk about my bitterness and
I can sing more if you
lack
like.
Of respect that I think that was displayed to the community and the university, the fans. And
it's May, and no matter how far we go, it always comes back to your disgust with Mus. Must discuss Mus.
Get me with Kyle. I need to phrase that.
All right.
Discuss with Mus.
Yes.
All right, next commercial break. We'll be back after this. ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back on the Turn the Page segment of the William Hill Sports Show, coming to you live with the Club Count Eva on ESPN 94.5 FM. What do we want to talk about now? You know, like I said, congratulations to the Nevada men's baseball team for making the Mountain West Conference Tournament. That's going to start next week. That's very, very exciting. What do I have on my list here? Memphis. I bet Memphis at 35-1. Pack Hoops, we talked about that. I got invited real quick. Where do you guys want to go right now? You want to talk about – let's talk about the UFC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said there's lots of fighting, boxing, and UFC tomorrow.
We do a lot of Corona business here. You know, we're actually dabbling more into the Corona. And they called us today, or our what do you want to call, our salesman called today and goes, hey, I got some ringside tickets for you to the John Jones UFC fight. Do you want them? I guess that's
– yeah.
I guess that's the answer, right, Josh? I mean – would
so
you
going to go to T-Mobile?
Maybe. I just it's such a. I've already invited Jaden Harris down here for chicken wings. You know not for free. He's got to pay for them. Otherwise, that would be 100% be a violation. And that's not what I'm saying. But you know, it was nice to see him and Cody and Caleb, you know, show up last year at Wingfest and you know have wings and stuff. But you know, it is that weekend, so I'm kind of oh man. But here I am. I mean, come on, ringside seats to John Jones.
Yeah,
that's a great card too.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things. I haven't done it, you know, myself, but I hear, you know, it's just something completely different, actually, when you see MMA fighting up close to anything that TV does, you know, for it.
Yeah. You know, I've only been to a couple of UFC fights. It was when our buddy Rocky Battistini, a local kid, was fighting, and he was on the undercards and some of these things.
Right.
And I went to that. And that was, goodness, that was, John, how long ago was that? 10 years ago, probably,
yeah,
since Rocky fought?
Probably 15.
Even before, I mean, it was before it really blew up.
Right.
You know, so.
I've seen some of the King of the Cage locally.
Yeah.
Sure, same thing, but. One thing you should check out, Ken, it's funny, as much as the UFC's grown, if you, again, if you really want to get a feel for it, because, of course, you can see the general, you know, nature of the violence and everything that's going on during the broadcast, but check out a Bellator production sometime, because they do some stuff completely different, and some could argue better than the UFC, but their full-scale production thing is really elaborate and impressive on some levels. But one thing
Isn't
that
Jack
they do
Swagger in Bellator?
To bring home,
he just,
yeah,
beat,
guess,
somebody.
Like the reality of what's going on. I mean, they have all kinds of like over the octagon angles and stuff. But another thing they do, Ken, like, you know, NBA games, they put the, you know, little microphones on the net so you can hear it swish. Bellator actually puts like microphones and stuff like all around the cage, and they zoom in so you can actually, you know, hear more and see, you know, exactly what's,
well,
going on.
Well, and that's,
yeah, it gives you a feeling for the true depth of the violence that's being.
It's showcase. And that's great, because, you know, I've been to boxing matches, you know, where I had to sit back, and even when we were going to see Rocky play, you know, fight, you know, we sometimes have to sit in the back, and you're watching it from a pretty great distance, and you got to be able to see over people. They're going to be on the mat, so you're really restricted visually. But that's great to know. That's great to know.
Yeah,
John,
would you consider Bellator like a triple A compared,
you know,
to
some
UFC?
People do, John. You know, it's funny. It's becoming. We'll,
is Hardy fighting UFC?
Greg, yeah,
Hardy?
Hardy's in the UFC. We'll see what happens with Bellator. I will say, for a while there, it was seen as just sort of an amusing sideshow to the UFC. No one really took it seriously. But the guy, Scott Coker, has been their CEO for a few years now. He wanted to turn things around and give them more credibility. So they've signed, yeah, first of all, it was also over-the-hill fighters. You know, they had a heavyweight tournament. It's guys like, you know, Tito Ortiz and Chael Sonnen. The guys,
yeah,
are in their 40s. Like, who really cares about that? But outside of that, though, they're starting to sign some fighters. And what happens is occasionally, you know, there's been more scrutiny of UFC fighters' pay relative to the risk. And Bellator has noted to pay much more and offer bigger contracts. So a few years ago, a guy was one of the best welterweights in the world, you know, UFC, Rory McDonald. He left, went to Bellator. Same thing with a guy named Benson Henderson. He's very good.
I remember
him. Right. So now suddenly you look at their roster. And I put it this way. It's very, you know, top-heavy. But now if Bellator has a main event, someone's fighting for a championship, it's probably someone you've heard of in the,
how about,
the
like,
title fight.
NBA, ABA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I said that's probably an equivalent, but they get a lot of people, like I said, thinking UFC is going to be given a run for the money because, A, Bellator does pay more, especially to the stars. Their production level is real high quality of both their pay-per-views and their free fights. And at some point, given the free market and everything, you just may see more fighters head there. So
I caught one a couple years. I think I saw Rampage Jackson fight a couple years
ago.
He's
also used to be in, of course, UFC, but that was, again, so it was sort of like this retirement. You know, I think for guys that were over the hill or whatever, then went to Bellator. But their overall roster, you know, isn't really that bad. They just had a huge thing last weekend with some real quality fights. I mean, a guy named Douglas Lima is one of the best of the world, fought Michael Page, and Michael Chandler, who's one of the best fighters in the world, had a championship fight as well. So it's one of those things where it's getting better. I think anything that puts pressure on the UFC is a good thing because you don't want them to monopolize the whole deal. If they actually have to look over their shoulder, if they're going to lose talent and someone else is, you know, doing the production quality better, it's just going to hopefully increase everything all the way around. But also, I hope it does improve the treatment of fighters and things of that nature, because when you look right at it, it's starting to get more scrutiny now that UFC's on ESPN all the time or whatnot. But it is crazy, Ken, how many people for a living have done, you know, 30-ish fights at the UFC for about 10 grand a pop. It's like they get in there, you know, which you're going to see half of after taxes, and you got to pay four different coaches for boxing and jiu-jitsu and all that. I mean, these guys go in there every time. They take potentially life-changing damage in more or less a no-hold-barred fight for five rounds and to cash a check for peanuts compared to the risk.
Wouldn't you just go to the WWE?
You would think.
Well, I think that's what Rousey figured
think
out.
About it, think yeah. about it. Right, Conor McGregor's probably headed there.
Brock's
officially retired from the UFC. Did I not
well,
hear
he's
that?
Done, yeah, but he's done that before.
It's all, he's retired until he gets
Matt Riddle is another one who's the NXT, I think, North American champion, something like that. But he was a UFC fighter, and it's just it would make sense to me.
Swagger. Somebody else.
His real name is Jake Hager, and I think he's in Bellator now. But yeah,
he just won a fight. He just won.
Ryan Bader, the local guy, he's the light heavyweight champion at Bellator. He was a UFC guy forever.
Yeah.
Same thing. Just didn't like. He didn't like. I think he didn't get a shot at John Jones, which he wanted. But he was lingering around, you know, the top five ish or whatever. He's a legit. Finally, he just got tired, I think, of waiting on a title shot from UFC. Bellator comes along. Same thing. Opened up their checkbooks. He said, sure. But he just went. He won their what they call a heavyweight Grand Prix. Everything Bellator does that UFC might want to take a look at. But where they do a tournament-style thing where they have a bunch of people, top 8, 10 contenders, whatever, they do like a March Madness-style bracket, and it goes down to the final two. And Bader won that, you know, heavyweight championship.
What's the time period for that? What's the time period? One
night,
2 days, 3 nights?
It takes about a year, Ken, because first round on one night, then second round, you see what I mean? And then finally on the last show of the year. So it took them about a year to do their heavyweight.
One night, Ken.
Well, no, back...
Yeah, they'd be hot. Get back in there. When I was in high... My nose is broke.
When I was in high school back in Oklahoma, they'd have those tough man contests.
No, they used to.
And they would fight it one night.
Yeah.
Charles Sugar Bear Ware.
But anyhow,
he was my boss.
The general business model that they're using, you know, isn't that bad. So,
with that being said, you know, that's the reason I asked. I didn't know. So interesting. What's going on? Anything on this UFC? ESPN Plus card tomorrow? I mean, there's a lot of fights. Anything stands out to you?
Yeah, now? Sure, Ken. So it's a free one. So this isn't a pay per view, but Fight Night 152, Rochester, and like you mentioned, it's a good card with some pretty decent matchups. I think the one, of course, that I like the best is the main event. But it's a nice fight. Rafael Dos Anjos, he's been a champion. He's been in the top five forever. He's fought everybody. The guy's beaten Nate Diaz. He's beaten Cowboy Cerrone.
Who's having a huge push right now.
Yeah, right. And his last fight, he lost to Kamaru Usman, who's the current welterweight champion. So Dos Anjos is just one of those guys. He's been around forever, fought everybody. He's a top five guy. Kevin Lee's moving up from lightweight, where he was a top five guy. Because he can't make 155. He's a big kid. He can't make 155 anymore. So he goes up to 170 so he can comfortably make weight without, you know, killing himself. And he's an explosive guy. So as you can tell in the price, that's basically a pick 'em, 115, 105. I think it's going to be an entertaining fight. I actually like Kevin Lee a little bit. He's the younger, better athlete. I think he's got, you know, I think RDA, as they call him, Dos Anjos, a little bit over the hill. But I wouldn't bet, you know, I mean, I probably will bet the fight, but I wouldn't you know, stake my life on that outcome. But main event should be pretty entertaining right there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Nick has 13 fights. And he's using them. He's got prelims and he's got main cards. Okay, so you can't parlay. I know you cannot parlay the prelim fights, but you can parlay the main card fights. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 main card fights. So with that being said, you have 13 different selections on these fights. The main card fights all have round totals also. I'm not sure if Nick's going to put up round totals tomorrow for the prelims, but with that being said.
Prelims usually don't.
Yeah, so a full slate of UFC tomorrow with the first fight. When does this thing start, Josh? I guess it's back in New York. So.
Yeah, you know, I know the main card is, you're right, there's like fight pass, whatever, there's a handful. It's like prelims to the prelims, right? The actual preliminaries start at, I want to say 5 our time. And then, yeah, the championship, the main event card starts at 8. I believe those are the timing aspect of it. But so 5 or 6 on the preliminary, a featured prelim, and then 4 on the main card. And that second fight there is pretty good, too. Middleweights Antonio's Carlos Jr. and Ian Heinsick. Should be a pretty decent fight as well. So it's worth, again, as the kind of free cards go, this one's worthwhile. It's just on ESPN Plus.
Also in New York tomorrow, in Brooklyn, Deontay Wilder. What is going on with Deontay Wilder?
What are you doing, Deontay?
So get everybody up to speed. What have you guys heard about this? I know he said some stuff about actually.
He said
I want to kill the guy. But Tyson said that too. You know, back in the day. But anyways,
or
go ahead.
Eat your children.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, he just said that this is one of the only jobs in the world where it's legal to kill a man. And he's going to kill this guy tomorrow. Dominic Brazil, is that his name?
Right.
He's a heavy favorite. This is a fight he cannot afford to lose with what could potentially be on deck with Fury or Joshua or whoever. Hopefully Joshua. He basically said he's going to kill this man tomorrow. Which is, I know you're selling the fight and you're doing all that stuff, but I'm a fan of Deontay Wilder. I've been following his career. I've been in hopes of a great American heavyweight for a long time, and he might be the guy. We'll see, but yeah, it's an interesting way to sell a fight.
He's minus $10 right now, Josh, and the round total is 9.5 under his minus $3.
That's crazy.
I wish they had an alternate in boxing. Like maybe I'll bet it under 7.5 and take a plus price.
Exactly. That would be kind of cool, an alternate run line. So, but with this price and given everything that's going on, I'll just put it this way. I want to see Brazil knock him out now. Wilder's a joke.
Can it happen?
And, you know, I hope so. I'm not going to pay for this. I'll watch the free UFC card because this is a mismatch. But the thing is, I like Deontay Wilder as well, John. But the thing is, this is so out of character for him because before now he was known as the gentleman champion.
I've never heard him say
that. Right, he was known as one of the nicest guys. That's why the people.
He was just on billions.
The people who had his followers, people who had been fans of his since his career started going on, that was his thing. He was like the amicable, approachable heavyweight champ, always doing pictures and autographs with the fans, always well-spoken, eloquent. So now he wants to be Conor McGregor? It's like, no, you're not buying it. It's stupid. Because at least Mike Tyson, when he said he was going to eat someone's children, you can picture it happen. Right. At least it was in conjunction with his personality to that point. Deontay Wilder, like you mentioned, I think it's just a cheap ploy to try to get hype for the fight. But I also just think it's just it's just cringy given what he came from. No one really sees him as that guy. And so now he's talking about how he wants to kill a guy. I just think it'd be hilarious now if he got knocked out. If he fell face first on the canvas.
Yeah, we're looking at Wilder, John. He's 40-0 with one no decision. 40-0.
One draw against Fury.
Yeah, but going back to what you guys are talking about, this kid, Brazili, however you say his name, he's 20-1. I mean,
yeah,
21.
Was Wilder's last fight when he came up with the knockout to
that was the
save
draw.
Himself? No, the knockout.
What are you talking about?
Wilder?
Yeah, Deontay Wilder. He was behind the whole fight, knocked the guy out in about the 11th.
No, I mean that ended up being a draw with Tyson Fury.
Oh, that was
Fury.
A draw? I thought he knocked him out.
He knocked him down in the 12th.
Oh. Remember, Fury got up. We're going. He's dead.
That's
Then he did the Undertaker.
Now.
Like what? And he was fine. He was fine.
It was late.
Taking a nap.
It was late
a nap.
That night.
Taking a nap. 39 knockouts, 40 wins, 40-0-1 Wilder, 39 knockouts. He's 6'7". The other guy's 6'7". He's got he's 83-inch reach for Wilder, 81.5 for Brazil. Just look at these guys. John, you're right. I mean, two American guys here, they're getting after it.
Is there any resume on Brazil? I'm just curious who he's fought.
Oh, I can probably get it.
I knew. Honestly, I have not heard of him until now. Probably why he's such a big underdog. But
yeah, I'm surprised.
I'm curious if he's got anybody on his resume worthwhile.
Predictions, Wilder by mid-round knockout. Is it worth maybe 300 isn't enough to win 100. I have to bet a little bit more than that, but I don't know. Going back to this, it's exciting, but it's a pass for me. Maybe I throw a knockout into some parlays tomorrow and try and steal some money. What do you think, Josh?
So you were saying you would just go with the under?
Yeah.
Under,
I mean,
on the rounds?
Yeah, under. Why not? I mean, why not? Pacquiao's still here too. Pacquiao is actually he's a dog against Keith Thurman. Are you aware of that, Josh?
Yeah, I was curious. I remember I think you shared that with me
July
on Twitter 20th. When the fight was announced. I was curious what the price would be. Not surprising, only because Thurman's a lot younger. He's a welterweight champion. He's got some great skills. So pretty much a prime Thurman against an aging Pacquiao. It makes sense. Having said that, If he looks as well as he had in some of his fights, Pacquiao could beat him. One thing Keith Thurman hasn't really done is he hasn't exactly fought a murderer's row. He's inactive. He's hurt all the time. He talks a big game about wanting to fight everybody, but never has. And, of course, Pacquiao's just a big name, too. So he's over the hill. But Thurman's shown a pretty weak chin in some fights. I mean, I think Pacquiao could be a good underdog there. You're not getting enough of a price, though.
Yeah, that's my problem with it. It's only plus 110. Is that what it was? What did I say? Yeah, plus 110.
Boxing's hard just to watch these guys that were so great just hold on and hold on and hold on.
I agree, but at least Pacquiao's not embarrassing himself. I mean, he's been winning fights.
Have you watched the new Muhammad Ali documentary?
No.
It's just the Larry Holmes fight and the Trevor Burbick fight at the end. It's just, come on, you're Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah, that was embarrassing. Well, Roy Jones is still fighting at the county fair, like, twice a month.
Yeah, I remember my dad being upset, and I didn't know why because I was a little kid, but I remember him being upset during the Larry Holmes fight, and I loved Larry Holmes as a kid. He's like, he's the greatest, and then he can't move. His mind's there.
Yeah.
His body's not.
Yeah. That's a good example, too, Kenny. Evander got to the point where he was close to embarrassing himself. I mean, he did hold on for too long. Before, if you look at his old resume, So last few fights were losses to.
Is Lennox Lewis the only one that's done this right?
To a couple nobodies.
Yeah, Lewis.
Some. You see some. Riddick Bowe, for what it's worth, he didn't hang out too long.
He got paid and got gone.
Yep.
I guess. But it's just, I don't know. It's and that's the game, of course. You're not going to know from one fight to the next which was the ultimate blow. And obviously with Ali, it was probably the thrill in Manila that he never recovered from. But it's still, it's just, it's tough. It's tough to watch this, though. Not just to bring it back to what I'm talking about with Pacquiao.
We sit here and talk boxing stories
Johnny
all day.
Great.
We got to get Terry and Tommy Lane on. They got that big card coming up in Reno too.
Yes.
So they're going to contact me next time they're in Reno, and we'll get them on the show. But you know, going back to the thriller, you know, when he kept getting that jab, Ali kept getting that jab stuck in his face, and he went to his corner and said, "I've heard this story." He said he made the comment. He goes, "Man, if he keeps hit me with his jab, he goes, I'm done. He goes, I can't stop it. It's like a sledgehammer. Pap, 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 pap." Ken went out and he took the first jab. Pap. They clinch, and he goes, "Man," he goes, "you better cut." He whispered in the ear, and he goes, "you better come up with a better punch than that, or we're going to be here all night."
Yeah.
Never threw the jab again.
It's a that's how he's a genius.
Yeah.
Absolute genius. I'm looking at him, the rope-a-dope itself.
The rope-a-dope.
It's just the dude was so cool.
Yeah.
And so controversial for that time, obviously. He didn't divide the nation. The nation was already divided, but it's just – it's fascinating. You need to watch the on HBO, the new Muhammad Ali stuff.
All right. With that being said, a lot of boxing coming up, UFC coming up. Hopefully, well, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I did get an invitation to go to set ringside at the John Jones fight. We'll see where that takes us. Yeah, I am bragging. I've never set. Never set.
Never set.
I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the Preakness tomorrow, as everybody knows. It's a very sensitive subject. But let's talk about the Preakness and not the Derby. Maximum Security did offer the four horses that finished ahead of them. They offered them each $5 million to run that race again. So with that being said, they're trying to – the owner – what's the guy? I got it in my notes right
here. Trying to make it right?
Trying to make it right. Gary West. It's $20 million. He offered each horse $5 million to rerun, you know, that, you know, Kentucky Derby style.
Hard money for a horse to turn down.
I was gonna say.
You don't get that every day.
But they have to do it while they're still colts, too.
Oh, gotcha.
So, I mean, they basically have, until December 31st or something like that. But with that being said, you know, it really is a sad state of affairs for, you know, the Preakness when Maximum Security and the Kentucky Derby winner, neither one of them are running. You know, it's just, you know,
always takes the shine off.
Oh, it does.
Oh, hashtag winning is going to win this race here.
You're betting. We're talking about
virtual horses,
this is at Brandywine Raceway. Raceway.
We're going to win this race.
So I don't really have anything. Josh, did you write any?
Some of these are more entertaining, by the way. Some of these virtual races are more entertaining than the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, for sure.
Josh, did you write anything, or do you have any knowledge on this Preakness, the 144th running of the Preakness Stakes tomorrow?
Yes and no, meaning I don't know anything about it, but our website is full of info. We have like six different horse racing experts all giving their insight and analysis. So if you go to sportsline.com and want to see, you know, a variety of opinions and insider, whatever, it's all there.
I like the 5, the 7, and the 2.
5 being Owendell, the 7 being Always Mining, and the who?
2.
Bourbon War.
That's the last thing I need is Bourbon More.
Yeah, Bourbon More instead of Bourbon War. Really disappointing story. You know, Mitch gave me the winner for the once the horse got DQ'd over at the Derby, and I left it on the table. I couldn't afford $12 for, I don't know, 10 or 12,000.
Yeah.
You know,
what are you doing?
I'm a knucklehead. I bet 500 on the race, you know, in other combinations and straight bets, but somehow
except for the winner.
I looked at it and go, yeah, that's not going to win. That's not going to win. I filed it. Mitch did. He bet it, and he got paid, so. All right, with that being said, let's just move on. We don't need to talk about the Preakness. Josh, you got anything you want to talk about the Preakness at all? Josh, where can you get the information on Sportsline?
Sportsline.com. It's just, you know, in our main article section, there's probably six different pieces on, you know, the Preakness. So we have Jody Demley, Hank Goldberg, all kinds of.
Does Hank Goldberg write for you guys?
He's one of our experts, so we get his stuff every week.
You ever met Hank?
I did last year in Vegas at our CBS convention. And, so he's one of our bigger names. A lot of people follow his stuff for sure. But like we have, you know, quite a variety of experts. And from what I can tell, you know, they post the results and everything, and our horse handicappers have been doing pretty good. So,
Josh, who's going to win Money in the Bank WWE on Sunday?
Couldn't tell you. All I can tell you is no matter who wins, I'm going to claim it was rigged.
Mandy Rose and Drew McIntyre are the betting favorites.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Covers likes to put up these little teasers too. They've been having odds on the Game of Thrones. So if you go to covers.com, they have this little squig. Like, who's going to kill Cersei, and now it's going to be.
Is Sunday the finale?
It is. 2 hours.
God, thank Christ.
120. You haven't watched any of it, have you?
Not a.
Oh, my goodness.
Not an inning.
Josh, you watch Game of Thrones?
I do not. Similar to my, my views on pro wrestling. I have zero interest in either.
Oh, so other
Game of Thrones also staged. Yeah.
Based
on, like, either one.
Based on that, Josh, you don't watch any TV. The only thing you watch is live sports.
Pretty much.
I thought Game of Thrones was actual, like, a documentary. Is that not happening?
Yeah, right, Josh.
Wrestling, I don't agree with you with the wrestling part.
All right.
But. When's that house show coming to Reno?
Like June 11th, something like that.
No, that's not long. It's not long.
Yeah.
We're going to go to that?
Yeah.
All right.
Make my play with Mandy Rose?
Oh, boy. We got 1 minute till we have to head off to traffic. We still got to talk about basketball. And we still got to talk about hockey. Josh, anything going on? World Series of Poker? Are you going to – oh, tomorrow we have a poker here
you qualify.
Tonight.
You got your qualifier at the Deep Stack, right?
$50 tournament tomorrow here at the Club Count Eva. The top four finishers tomorrow get to come back and play Sunday for a seat. We're limiting Sunday to 60 participants only.
Wow.
On Sunday. 60 participants, 10 players, so you have a 1 in 6 chance of winning something on Sunday if you qualify in the top four tomorrow, and with the grand prize being a seat into the main event of the World Series of Poker, the $10,000 main event World Series of Poker. That's tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the Club Count Eva. So, you know, why not? You know, Moneymaker parlayed his $40 or $50 entry into a World Series. Being a millionaire. So with that being said, tomorrow, 2 o'clock, here at the Club Count Eva in the Club Count Eva Poker Room. With that being said, this is the time we have to go off to traffic a little bit early. So we'll see you after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back at the Club Count Eva William Hill Racing Sportsbook, right outside the William Hill Racing Sportsbook. What do we got tonight? We're on a little bit early because of the Raptors and the Bucks. We're on from 4 to 5:30. Tip off of the Bucks Raptors.
I thought the Eastern Conference playoffs were over. Was that just for me?
Just for you. Tomorrow, the Blazers and the Warriors. That's an interesting spread, too. We'll get to that. But tonight, Bucks, Raptors, Bucks at home, laying 6.5, totals 219. I look at this game, you know, somehow the Bucks. I don't want to say stole. I won game one. I had the Bucks, and believe me,
that's crazy.
There was no point. I was playing poker at the GSR. Watching this, I was playing. They had a big no limit game over there, and I was watching the game, and it was found money, Josh. I mean, literally, excuse me, it was found money. I mean, at no point should the Bucks have ever covered that game, except the final score.
Exactly, and that was the only time I think they did cover. Believe me, I had the Raptors, not for much, but it was crazy. I went from thinking easy winner, turned they were dominating, winning the game outright, to even toward the end game scenario, thinking okay, they can even fade a few missed free throws. This should be okay, and it was one of those that were just as NBA volatility goes. Everything had to go right all the way up until the made free throws and everything to where the Raptors still had one last possession for a team that led most of the way and somehow lose by 8. I mean, that was a rough beat.
Without Kawhi or Siakam playing particularly well, at least shooting-wise.
I think Kawhi ended up with like 30.
He did high volume. He's shooting a lot.
Yeah.
But that's fine. That's what they needed to do. That's the thing, Lowry. Yeah. What are you doing?
Well, have I turned into a Kawhi Leonard fan? Oh my god,
dude he's just a stud. He's the absolute top three or four player in basketball.
And he keeps his mouth shut. He plays.
I know that's your
the game.
Most important.
He plays
thing.
The game. You know. With that being said, Bucks at
so
home.
So you're okay with what he did to the Spurs then? Because right, he keeps his mouth shut. He's not a egomaniac or whatever. But he literally left his team hanging. Quit. I mean, he sat out a whole year.
We're going to talk about that when we get to the Blazers Warriors and
Kevin
Durant.
That
bothers me.
I know your stance on LeBron. I'm just curious, does Kawhi get a pass for that?
Oh, George Springer. That's not George Springer.
Bucks Raptors, 6 total, 2. Is that 219, Josh? 219?
You got it.
So I think the numbers, I'm going to have the Raptors tonight. I'm going to look for a 7 and try and get the Raptors at +7, Josh.
Yeah.
I am.
I'm going to leave it alone. Ken, I think only obviously I feel a little gun shy having had the Raptors in the last game. And as we just mentioned, with everything that was going on and the way they controlled most of that game, that feels to me like you're going to go on the road and steal one. That was their one. They didn't – you know what I mean?
I think about it the exact opposite.
They didn't get it done, though, and so I feel like, man, are they really going to come back tonight? I got a pass on the game.
I think this is the game where that happens. I think there was still a bit of a hangover from the miraculous –
yeah, but they were dominating. Well, they were 3.5 quarters. They led the whole way.
Then let's use a comparison. Let's look at the Golden State Blazers game two, and the way that went down. Blazers came out and played their butts off.
Yeah.
Things didn't go well in the last 2 minutes of that game. But I'm with you, John. I kind of see this.
The last quarter and a half.
But I kind of see this with the Raptors. I kind of see the Raptors coming out with a sense of urgency in this game.
I completely do. I know Giannis, whatever. Kawhi Leonard's best player left in that conference, I believe. I think that he single-handedly took that series over the previous series. I forget who they were playing, obviously, conveniently. No.
Is that the Philadelphia 76ers?
Yeah, God. But it's – I think that he rises to the occasion. He was 10 for 20, 34, something like that. Well, I don't know what it was exactly, but it wasn't
Who are you talking about?
Siakam. I'm talking about Kawhi.
Oh, Kawhi, okay.
And it's – I think it's – this isn't going to be 4 or 5 games. I think this is going the distance, and I think – the Raptors win this game outright tonight.
You know, look at this scoring. Talking about Kawhi, Nick put up points and rebounds, John, at 40. You know,
brilliant.
I think you like it over?
Yeah. He's going to get 34 points.
Josh?
It's tough. I mean, that's still a pretty high number.
And you
look how much he's shooting.
That's true.
He took 41 shots in Game 7 last series. 41 shots. So it's... He took 34 or whatever it was the other night. That's what he's doing now. He's putting it up. So if he's hot, he's going over.
Largest lead of the game, 16.5?
Man, I tend to play that one under.
Under? Josh?
It's tough. It's the NBA,
there's so many swings in the NBA that could actually go over. Like last night, the Blazers were up 17
yeah.
and lost. So that's one of those, to me, where the overall margin, it looks too high. You actually take those over most of the time.
The Greek Freak. Points, rebounds, and assists, 46.5.
I was going to say 50.
Well, then you like it over.
I like it over.
A little overlay there for you, Josh.
Yeah, for him, I'd take it over, too, just because the whole floor game, I like how it encompasses everything. Because Giannis didn't have a very good game one by his standards. So, yeah, I think he's going to come out motivated tonight. And when you factor in
I love watching him play.
Everything that he could get, I think he'll fill up that stat sheet pretty good tonight.
You know, John, real quick, Toronto's plus 370 to win the series versus Milwaukee. Milwaukee's at minus 450. If you kind of think maybe that the Raptors are going to win this game,
yeah.
don't you take a little shot at that 370?
For sure.
Because they're going to be going back home now.
I like to do that in really every sport that has series, seven-game series. If I like a team, preferably the underdog, if they lose that first one and I think they can win the series, I always bet it. So.
We're going to talk about the Blazers and Golden State, too, and yeah. what that price is, too, as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, that not so much.
So, you know, I'm looking at some of the numbers I have. It looks like, you know, I have Bucks right around 112, 116. I really don't like it that much. I do like the Raptors a little bit. I think you can get a huge effort out of the Raptors. I think, knock on wood, you know, I'm going to have the Raptors at plus 6.5, and I'm going to fire up my mobile app, Josh, and watch the end play and hopefully maybe get, like, a little bit of a middle. You know, like last night, you could have actually at one spot, obviously, when they were down a bunch, you could have got the Warriors at a grip and middled the game.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't do it. I let it ride because I figured that the my plus seven was absolutely gold, and then I got to sweat it. Oh, my goodness.
I took the Warriors at halftime. I was hoping for a better price, but I'll take it. But right, down 15 at halftime. I'm like, come on, give me app. Give me a nice juice on the Warriors. No, they weren't buying it. Only
nope.
plus 215. I'm like, that's weak.
Not
for a team
even.
That's down 15 points, but I did it anyway. And still, for $50, it was pretty sweet because I won like
without
120.
Without two All-Stars?
It's ridiculous. At plus $2, shouldn't this be like plus $6?
Well, any other team but the Warriors, it is.
Have we moved on to this game?
But yeah, but nonetheless, no. I was pretty okay. sickened by that halftime money line price because I thought it was meager, but yet, it's still better than 2-1.
Josh,
and it came in.
John, real quick, we can move on real quick. But Bucks Raptors tonight.
Yeah.
Bucks at home up 1-0. Number 6.5, totals 219.
Raptors all day.
You like the Raptors? Okay. Do you like the Raptors? Do you really believe the Raptors have a shot to win outright?
Oh, absolutely. I do.
Okay.
I think they will.
And, you know, knock on wood, going back to what we were talking about, the end play, Josh and John, is that Milwaukee, and I'm probably going to curse this, so I'm going to knock on wood right now. They've been notoriously slow starting in these playoff games.
Yeah.
So it's possible with the sense of urgency on the Raptors. They could, or for the Raptors, the Bucks come out maybe a little bit flat. Maybe they, you know, maybe I get a nice little plus six, minus two.
My biggest issue is I hate Kyle Lowry more than anyone else in the NBA. I'm kind of counting on him to have a night similar to what he had.
Well, Nick has him at 22 on points and assists.
Yeah,
that is such a small
number. Can't
have
that.
Such a small number.
Need him to be a threat out there.
Gotcha.
So, because I think Kawhi is going to rebound, and I think Siakam's going to rebound.
Josh, in this first game, Bucks 6.5, 219. Are you going to shove any money anywhere, or is it a pass? Or do you
I probably will wait for in-game and just see how it plays out. But from the start, I mean, I'd like to give Toronto a shot, but I just feel like, you know, they're going to regret blowing game one. They had it in hand. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks roll tonight. So I don't want Toronto, at least from the start. I'll just probably see what unfolds and do something in-game.
Gotcha.
All right, with that being said, let's move to the next game tomorrow at 6:10. Blazers at home. This is a real interesting game to me because, you know, you talk about how much home court advantage is worth. You know, we had last night, I had the Blazers plus 7, and now they're going home as a 2.5-point favorite. That's a 9.5-point swing. Now, John,
yeah.
Before you answer to this, I honestly believe the Blazers are going to win the next two games. I think they're going to come back, and this game is going to be tied 2-1. And I have the Blazers to win this. Excuse me, it's going to be tied at 2-2. I have the Blazers to win the series at plus $9 because if they do that, that number's coming way down.
Yeah, I don't agree with any of that. What we saw last night was it was a pleasure to watch the Warriors be the Warriors. That's the team that, you know, before Durant, before Boogie Cousins, any of that. Draymond Green is such a perfect glue for that team. He does everything. He always makes the right decision.
Except when he gets teed.
Besides that type of stuff. Besides the mental stuff. He'll make the right play every time. He's a great rebounder. The way he facilitates, the way he starts those breaks, the defense that guy plays. He had 5 blocks, but forget about that. Just being able just to control the offense, the opposing team's offense. What's going on out there?
Randy's walking up with a guitar.
I thought I was going to get Jeff Jarrett right there. But it's just, I love watching Andre Iguodala do Andre Iguodala things.
And such Clay, great role players.
And Clay Thompson. And Steph, of course. We're getting to Steph last. It's just, that's the Warriors right there. That's when Kerr called them effing giants, that's what he's talking about. Is that core, those 4 dudes right there, throw Livingston in.
They were winning before Durant got there.
They're winning before Durant got there. And if you don't think they love their brother, they say it all the time, they bring him up. If you don't think they want to win without him, you're crazy.
Yeah, and you know what, it goes to show you, John, I agree, in this era too, because the Warriors were kind of the fresh team to start this decade. People, you know, homegrown, they drafted Curry, they drafted Thompson, they never tanked.
Yeah.
You know, they just built it homegrown.
Generally speaking, well, they tanked for 30 years, really.
But not on purpose. <They're just bad. laughs> But the thing is, though, they went from a popular team, as you know, to the biggest villain ever when they signed Durant. And I get all that. But you're right, this just goes to show people get this, you know, bold reminder of how this is the team that won 73 games without Kevin Durant.
It's not just rolling the ball out there with the talent, which they have the talent, obviously. Those games are hard fought, and they do the right things to win those games defensively, making the right pass, hitting the open man. It's beautiful basketball, and they'd gotten away with that. I got sick of watching the Warriors, and I've rooted for the Warriors my whole life. I'm a Sixers fan, I always say this, but I've rooted for the Warriors my whole life. And it's just, I got away from it. I don't know if it's just Durant himself, but
now you're excited about him again.
Oh man, I loved watching that second half last night.
I couldn't help.
That was the team I love.
I could not help but think, and this is in a weird comparison, that's what I thought Nevada was going to look like last year. It really was.
Yeah, honestly.
With Caleb and Cody and the big guy and the ball movement, I really thought that's what I envisioned.
I thought it was
exactly what I envisioned.
An absolute machine.
Yes, that's what I
thought. Yeah,
you're right. And I'm looking at it going, that's just what I thought, you know. And then, you know, we didn't even know how good Jazz Johnson was going to be.
No, exactly.
You know, with that being said,
when you look at the Warriors now, it looks like Boogie Cousins is coming back before Durant does. He's been cleared to practice.
Yep.
So, I mean, you throw a Boogie into this, the East is inconsequential. It really is.
So game tips off tonight at 5:40. That's the Bucks and the Raptors. Bucks laying 6.5, totals 219. And then tomorrow at 6:10, the Blazers minus 2.5 going back home. Blazers are the favorite. 2.5, totals 221.5. We have to head off to our last commercial break. I want to ask, get your opinion, guys, opinion on Kevin Durant playing the rest of the series. And then we still have some hockey to talk about. This is the William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back for the last segment. Coming to you a little bit early this fine Friday because of the NBA championships coming on at 5:40, the Bucks and the Raptors. I actually misread the starting time for the hockey game, so we'll get into that. Sharks fans, you probably don't want to hear anything yet.
Oh, it's 1-0.
With that being said, Blazers, Warriors, Kevin Durant not out. There's people talking, thinking that they're actually making comments like, well, with Kevin Durant probably entering the free agent market at the end of the year, that he should just sit out and get healthy. And I absolutely disagree
with
that.
Could you imagine?
Well, that's the reason he's – that's what they're paying him to do.
Yeah.
He needs to perform. If he can play, he's got to play.
That's not going to happen. No. That's not coming from Warrior Kevin Durant.
The Warrior in him is going to
knock him out. Kevin Durant's a lot of things. He's not a dude that's going to sit out to go sign with the Knicks. Let's keep it real. And I think that's the best development of the Zion thing, is that kind of minimizes their chances a little bit when the Knicks get Kevin Durant. I think he's leaving personally, but I don't know. I love Nick fan pain. But
Why would Durant leave? He left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State to chase a title. But he's got a max salary now.
Because he's going to have a couple titles.
So why leave?
To get that back. To get maybe go back to Oklahoma City.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. But you're talking about three max titles there with Westbrook, George, and KD.
But it would be different. You'd be the prodigal son coming home.
Like LeBron when he went to Cleveland. Right. Whoever would have thought that?
I think that would be a great move.
I don't think he's going back to OKC.
I don't think so at all.
He and Westbrook, I think, really butted heads. They didn't like each other at
Who
all.
Who wouldn't? I love that
here's
guy.
Here's the thing, though.
Westbrook?
Yes, I love him.
With Durant, though, I think the bigger deal is, like you mentioned, I don't think he anticipated the reaction he got. You mentioned now, even with him out, people enjoy seeing the Warriors play without him. It's a reminder of how good they were. It just seemed like a embarrassment of riches to add Durant. They didn't need him. He didn't need to do that. We all know almost 99% of public sentiment's against it, and people start hating the Warriors because of it. It affects his legacy. For what it's worth, you also know Durant's a sensitive guy. He doesn't like all the hate. He doesn't like the perception that he's just getting free rings. And so that would, for him to prove that he can do something from the ground up, that would be the ultimate thing. The Knicks have been dormant for years. So somebody go there and turn them into a contender, maybe with another big free agent, a couple.
Who do they surround him with, Josh, rookies? For them to contend? Who do they surround
Kyrie.
Him?
Exactly. It's either Kyrie or Anthony Davis, whatever.
And they have the Some Knicks have super, the three pick? Big. They have the third pick?
Exactly.
So who's that going to be? Do we
know? R.J. Barrett.
Right.
Barrett, you think R.J.?
That's how it's slotted with the.
What did Draymond say to Kevin Durant when their big blowout? We don't need you.
Is that what he said?
It's true.
It's what he said to his face for the whole crowd to hear. We don't need
you. Well, it was funny
you.
How that blew up, too, because you know what?
So Durant got in his face, and Green just turned around and goes, listen.
Listen.
Or Draymond Green. He says, we don't need you. I mean, what do you say to that?
Scene, Ken? It was crazy because they blew a huge lead at the Clippers. The game went to overtime. I think the Warriors ended up losing that one after blowing like a 20-point lead. On the last play of the game, though, they got the ball. Draymond Green got the rebound of a miss, and there's like 10 seconds left, and it's a tie game. And Durant was just calling for the ball as they ran down the court. He wanted to take the last shot. Green took it himself and dribbled it off his leg, and nothing happened. What's funny, he actually has a habit of that. He's turned the ball over
that's,
a lot.
That's the thing.
He's not known for his dribbling skills.
Right.
That kind of goes against my theory of he always makes the right move.
Well, here's the funny thing, though. You know what's funny, Josh? I really thought both guys had a point. It went way too far. But Durant had a right to be frustrated. He probably should have been given the ball. And it's frustrating to see the game given away with, your fourth, whatever, best guy dribbles it off his leg, and he won the but I also understand Draymond Green felt disrespected because Durant openly gave it the eye roll.
And who are you?
He was openly disgusted. And that's when Draymond went after him. He goes, don't treat me like I'm some scrub.
Can you get a technical for punching your
teammate?
Who do you think is
the leader in that locker room?
When it comes down to it, it's the enforcer.
Who do you think it is?
Green.
If I'm going to say this, too. I don't know if this is too early. If Dennis Rodman is in the Hall of Fame, who I believe belongs there, what is Draymond Green?
Well, look at this, John, and put it this way. Look at the sacrifices people have made. You realize Steph Curry, the way he's played the past few games. It's like, there's no doubt. With Kevin Durant on the court, it cuts into his shots. Same thing with Klay Thompson. You realize that Draymond Green a couple years ago was averaging like 16 points a game. You know what he's averaging this year? 7.
Like, I was going to say,
it's
8?
He averages 7.7 rebounds and 7 assists per game. Do you realize he's got like the second triple-double in NBA history without the points?
Yeah.
He got it with rebounds, steals, and assists. And so he still is clear what a team player. I mean, it cuts into his shots, too. But the way he played last night, I thought was interesting. There was
Looney. Looney's playing great.
Yeah, there was a players poll, though. The Athletic did this. Did you hear about this? About a month ago, they ran an article. They did an anonymous players poll in the NBA and said, who's the most overrated player in the game today? And the winner of the poll was Draymond Green.
Wow.
And I think it's just because he's disliked.
Overrated? Yeah. He's only averaging 8 points.
Well, here's the thing. I also think people don't like. There is the fact. Every time he goes through the hoop, he whines for a foul every time.
Yes.
He whines every time a foul is called on him. So there's a reason why I think he's disliked among the players. But I guess I do think last night showed you the value because, like you said, with even though they were getting blown out in the first half against Portland, he was the only guy keeping them in there. His energy on the defensive end and his assist.
If you were to start a team, obviously you're going to take Durant and LeBron and AD, whoever. Just give me those three. Give me Clay, Steph, and Draymond, and you can fill in the rest around them. The way that those three can play together, I'll take those three, and then you can take everybody else. It's pretty amazing. Just watching that last night, it felt like it used to, with those Warriors. That team, they have a lot of talent. I'm not saying they don't, but they still work. They still had to work for everything they got.
So
when Boogie Cousins is coming back, Kevin Durant's coming back, they're going to win another world championship.
They're going to turn the page,
and all's going to be good. Does Cousins? What's he do next year?
Boogie?
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
You think he'll stay?
Yeah. You don't think so, Josh?
Well, we'll see. You know, the bottom line is he overestimated, like, his value. You know, he ended up signing with the Warriors in the mid-level exception. It's the only reason they took him because, wow, it was a steal. The guy was making, like, $22 million last year, and Warriors got him for $5 million. Well, no one else. He thought other suitors would want him. And basically ended up with the Warriors because he didn't have a lot of offers. If he's fully healthy – and there's other suitors out there, I don't think he's going to want to work for $5 million again. And I don't think the Warriors, with Klay Thompson, with all the contracts they have coming up, I don't think they're going to go out of their way to pay Cousins a lot. So I think he'll probably go, again, to the Magic or some team that's building that needs a good big guy, and he'll go play for them.
Portland?
I don't think so. I think they'll be all right. When they get Nurcik back and now they found Cantor, I think they're good.
That's true.
So like I said, I think he'll probably go to a building team that needs a good score.
Lakers?
Oh, boy. Mark Shannon's been listening. He's been texting me all day, and I have a question. Do you guys know this? Can you get a technical foul for punching a teammate?
John Gibbs would have gotten one against Ray Roberts. I know that.
But can you?
Yeah, I don't know.
You can?
I don't know.
I don't know. Of all things, I'm going to have to ask Mark Shannon. He's an official, you know, at the college level.
Yeah,
I'm
sure Mark Shannon should know.
So if anybody knows, the question of the day is, can you get a technical for punching a teammate?
I would think the short answer is no.
Like us on Facebook at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. My Twitter account is Ken Barlor, KenBarlor. Josh Nagel's Twitter is JoshNagel1. You can also get Josh's stuff on Sportsline. So Josh has numerous articles. So I just want to get all that out there. But
leave me alone.
I'm curious, and John, we don't even talk about you anymore because you don't want to get a hold of people. But I'm curious, can you get a technical if, like you said, you know, we don't need you. What if Draymond would have just wipe the floor with him? Because if they go to blows, I got Draymond.
If there's a delay of game,
as I would say, the curse words could be a technical.
Yeah, exactly.
The hurling of curse words back and forth could be a T. I bet. But if you just saw, I think refs would just be stunned. But if there was a timeout and two guys in the same,
oh, it's coming. You know it's coming.
I'm just saying though, I don't think the refs. Oh, we tee you up for fighting your own guy.
Think of all things we're seeing in sports now. It's coming now. You are.
Kenny, you lock Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant in the hell of a cell. Who comes out?
Westbrook's a killer. I know he's a lot smaller, but he's a killer. He's a killer.
Kill him.
He's a killer. I love Westbrook, too. I'm a Thunder fan, being from Oklahoma.
Huge.
And that's the reason I kind of despise the way Kevin Durant and what he did, you know, just to leave and go chase the title. So with that being said, is what it is. Hockey real quick, John. We obviously missed the hockey game.
Yeah,
Sharks. Is it 1-1?
I believe it's 1-0 still.
1-0. The Blues came out and scored immediately. I think less than 2 minutes into the game, the Blues took a 1-0 lead. Looks like they are at first intermission already. No, they can't be at first intermission yet.
Not yet.
But with that being said, I think the Blues. Yeah. Tiger Woods, man, he cost me $1,000.
Did not make the cut.
Did not make the cut.
He didn't make it.
No, Josh, you should have to give me half my money back.
I told you should have doubled up.
How did this play into this weekend's tournament, our bet?
Brooks Koepka sets a record.
Yeah, he's 7 strokes ahead of Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth and Adam Scott, who I do have Adam Scott. But Jordan right now, Brooks Koepka, I've never seen
him. Boy, is he solid.
He's minus $4 to win the thing right now. You can get the field at plus money.
Big fan of his.
Yeah. And he set a PGA record for lowest combined 2 rounds to start a tournament. He's 12 under right now. Absolutely incredible. And he's 12 under, par 70.
Yeah. And he was in contention at the Masters, too, on the final day.
Always.
That kept him, what, he finished like 5th? I mean, he was right there.
Look at the last 8 majors. I bet he's in the top 10 of 6 of them.
Yeah. I like the interview that they had
Big
had
buff
with Kevin. They go,
it
seems like you focus a little bit more and take golf a little bit more serious when the majors come
That's
around.
What you're supposed to
and
do.
He goes, yeah, I do.
You seem to be playing harder in the Super Bowl.
You know what Kepka's pre-tournament odds were? What was he going into this? About 12 to 1?
10-1. He was 10-1.
That's what he was getting in.
There was three of them that were 10-1. Okay. Him, DJ, and Tiger were all 10-1.
Okay.
Just bet all those guys.
Yeah.
It's the same dudes.
I mean, can you imagine this? I was actually trying to get a price on Kepman to go in it after 2 days. I'm not laying $10. You got to be kidding me. Blues, Thomas Carr, one of our loyal listeners. Yeah. Blues scored 35 seconds into the game.
35 seconds in.
35 seconds into the
game. We were doing a show, Thomas.
Yeah, we didn't. It actually, the starting time, the puck time dropped a little bit earlier than I thought. We're in a little bit early, 5:40 tonight. Bucks, Raptors. Bucks laying six, total 219. Me and John both like the Raptors tonight.
Yeah.
John likes them a little bit more than I do. He thinks they have a chance for an outright win.
They're going to win.
Josh is actually neutral in this game, probably going to be a pass.
Exactly. Do something in-game. But
Blazers tomorrow, Blazers-Warriors, Blazers at home. 7-point dog last night. They're coming home as a 2.5-point favorite. 221 is the number.
Keep it up, Bullet.
Blazers in big tomorrow. I like Blazers big tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the spot, Ken. I do think if the Blazers are going to get competitive this series, this is the one. Because you got to be careful, because obviously if they don't, I think they might get swept. But as well as they played in game two, came up a little short. They've got a great home court environment, and it won't surprise me, like I said, tomorrow to see Portland with the big win.
No, you can't get a technical from teammates for fighting. However, as Josh said, unsportsmanlike behavior, language by a coach, that could happen. So Mark Shannon with an immediate response. So kick his butt, Green.
Yep.
Go for it. All right, do all your sports betting with Wim Hill. We'll see you next week, same time. Good luck, everybody, on all your wagering. See you next week, ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.